This podcast is brought to you by Upcase. Improve your development skills by completing coding exercises that are peer-reviewed by real humans. Learn more at upcase.com.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. My name is Ben Orenstein, and I'm here today with Will Selinsky. Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. So why don't you start off by telling us what you're doing these days?
Okay. I'm building a company called Pistol Lake here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and it's a pretty big change of pace for me because I spent the past decade or so building tech companies, and Pistol Lake is an apparel manufacturer that's kind of taking a lot of the lessons I learned building tech companies and applying them to manufacturing.
So what kind of apparel are you making?
So we make men's clothes, and really the reason that I got into the business was I grew up in a family where most of the people that raised me sewed shoes in Maine, and right down the street, you know, there was L.L. Bean. You know, there was a type of clothes that 30 years later you'll still find in thrift stores, and we just didn't feel like that was the case anymore. And so we wanted to build what we thought were going to be better clothes, and also just tailor a company to the things that we wanted in our age group and for the people that like us.
Yeah. So what is the difference that makes something last that long?
Well, it's just about craftsmanship. I mean, when it comes down to the quality, it comes down to craftsmanship, and it comes down to people that are happy doing what they're doing and doing a good job at it. And so we sew all of our shirts here in LA, and we're, you know, constantly in the factory, and that really matters. It also comes in the design phases when you're actually making the decisions around what matters. Mm-hmm. For us, it's really about minimalism, and it's about focusing on what does matter, which is, you know, quality construction and, you know, and kind of taking out all the stuff that doesn't matter.
Hmm. Is that the main thing that gets people to keep clothing, is sort of quality and the fact that it will last? Like, I feel like you almost need a mentality that, like, this is something that I'm going to hang on to for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I think that people want to hold on to clothes. I just think that it's we've been really biased over the past, you know, couple of decades or whatever, of, you know, a decrease in quality. You know, I think the first thing and the most important thing, though, is just, like, enjoying the style and liking the fit. And, you know, it's like when you start getting people to tell you something looks good or you feel good in something, that works. And then, you know, if it lasts, then all the better. So that's really what we focused on, is just making it last at that point. Like, well-constructed knits, like what we make, t-shirts and hemleys and things like that, should get better with age. And, you know, as they get broken in, they carry your story with them, you know? So it's...
Mm-hmm. I saw you guys looking for design feedback from Reddit.
Yep.
On your inner pieces.
Yeah. So we grew up building tech companies and, you know, and that's our background. So when we look to our audience and the people that care about, you know, what we're doing, we can find groups of them online. And so far, like when we first launched the company, we actually launched on Hacker News. Mm. And then from that, we started interacting a lot with Reddit, because there's a subreddit called Men's Fashion Advice. And it's this like crazy passionate group of dudes that like talk about feeling good, looking good, and like buying nice clothes. And like the guys on there know about so many more brands and styles and stuff than I ever would. And so it's like really rad to be able to put something out and to get good feedback. And it's crazy because the first post we ever did on there, this dude reached out and just wanted to come and check out some of the new styles we were working on, try them on, see what his fit was. And I really had no idea what to expect. But he came by, swung by our office. We've always kind of worked and lived in the same building, and swung by, threw on some of the clothes, and just like sat there and talked for a couple hours or something. Just like really rad guy that, you know, shared a lot of the same interests and stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, became friends with him, and you know, a lot of the people that we interacted with so far on Reddit have been just really, really cool kids. So
nice.
So we're actually in the middle right now of designing a really awesome crew neck sweatshirt, and it's very iterative in the how we design. And so as we've been walking through each step, we posted the updates to Reddit. Yeah, and we get great feedback every time. Yeah. So it's been really fun, and we want to continue doing that. So
yeah, it's awesome whenever you can sort of shorten that feedback loop, or like talk directly to people that are going to get your stuff or currently wearing your stuff and get feedback from them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially the people that have been thinking about this stuff and have, you know, worn similar items and that, you know, that are interested. So it's been a really awesome channel for us.
Mm-hmm. What made you go from tech into making a physical good like this?
Well, it was a lot of things. I wanted to build a company in a little bit different way than typical building software companies. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take technology and my background in technology, but apply it to a more traditional industry where, you know, it's not a software company, but software can change the game. And so I also really wanted to build a company that would be profitable pretty quickly, and that would be something that, if done well, I could really like change people's lives, you know, the people that we were working with. And it's been important to us as we've built what we have that, you know, all of our clothes are made here in Los Angeles, and everything from the zippers to, you know, all the components of the shirts are made here. And it's not really that they have to be made in America, but it's such that we're here and we can walk through the factories and make sure that everyone's smiling and that, you know, they're well paid and things. So that's just been something that was important to us.
Why is that important to you?
Most people that are building companies like eat, sleep, and breathe it. And like, if you're going to be allocating your time in such a way, like, why not do something that can have an impact, that, you know, that you can change people's lives? And the apparel industry is probably one of the most atrocious ones in the world. It's also a really large industry. And so my thought process was that if I could build a reasonably sized company, then I could impact people's lives a little bit.
You mentioned earlier that you feel like software can change the game in sort of non-traditionally software-powered industries. How are you guys using software for that?
We've kind of built out or started to build out our own processes of design. And so it's called PLM software, just kind of tracking the product life cycle. Everything from inventory projections, like forecasts of demand, to sew up replenishment of old styles. There's a lot of like the kind of back end, I guess, of things that's really kind of game changing. And, you know, to be quite honest, there's a lot of platforms out there that have been built, like Shopify, and we use a logistics software called ShipStation to run our warehouse. And so we've decided from the beginning that, A, we're going to, my co-founder and I, we're going to learn every facet of the business and do everything ourselves at the beginning and as we scaled out. So that meant learning how to design apparel, how to manufacture apparel, and then how to build out a warehouse. And so, you know, each step along the way, we've looked at it and said, how can we in the future use software to make this more efficient? So everything from building out shelving to like, where do you put the things to ship them out the fastest? And, you know, we've taken our time in walking through these steps so that we can continue to kind of build out.
That's really software. Interesting that you would both, did your partner have experience in apparel, like building a company like this? So you both just picked this and you're like, let's do this, but we're going to do everything ourselves and then like reinvent stuff along the way.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting change.
It's kind of crazy, or has been kind of crazy, but it's also been the most fun, incredible experience I've ever had. My co-founder and I met in a program called Techstars in Boston. We had both founded separate companies and became really good friends. And we knew we wanted to build a company together. And so we've always tossed around ideas. And this is one I've been thinking about for a long time because, you know, there are still really good boot companies in Maine and around the United States, but there aren't many really, really awesome apparel companies or shirt companies. And specifically as a guy, you know, buying clothes, like I'm not a super like fashion guy. I'm not like high fashion. I would never wear most things that are sold, you know, online or anything. So I wanted like a certain type of clothes, and I really never really liked the laborious acts of like going to the store and shopping and things like that. So I wanted to build a company that people that I knew and people like me could trust would work for them. Like whatever they buy, they can buy other things that, you know, fit the same. They don't shrink. They're super high quality. You know, you don't really have to think about it at that point. So, and that's what we've seen so far from a lot of our customers is that once they buy, you know, a t-shirt and it fits them well, then they can buy a Henley or a hoodie or, you know, whatever else it is. And so now we're just kind of expanding beyond that.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's so fascinating to see someone that would just sort of drop what they're doing and pick an industry without experience in it, I guess.
It's really fascinating, though. The company I took through Techstars was in the mobile space. And, you know, it was right when the iPhone was coming out. So we actually tackled BlackBerry first. Android hadn't been released yet. And so learning, you know, mobile development right when the iPhone launched was also, you know, really fascinating. I think it's more of a personality thing than anything. And the next company I built after that or helped build was an ad tech company. And so like digging into that space and understanding a pretty complex business. But honestly, learning the apparel business in the United States, domestic manufacturing, is like way more challenging than any of those things. There really are no books. There aren't, you know, great ways to learn. It's all about making personal relationships with small business owners. And you really have to learn every facet of it that like relates to your product, because everything's different, but it's awesome. I mean, it's really fun. So,
yeah. So what does success look like?
Well, for me and my co-founder, means about building a company that gives us the freedom to do what we want and to be able to help people along the way and to, you know, provide a product that people love. So those three things are really the most important to us.
When you say freedom to do what you want, do you mean with the company or like not having to work?
Well, I'm not really the type that can do that whole not working thing.
Yeah.
So no, it just means, you know, right now we're constrained by, you know, what we can design and what we can build. We think, you know, we've designed some awesome things and we have some really great things in the hopper, but you know, resources are always a constraint. So yeah. So it just means like being able to design the things we want to sell them, and to kind of bring them in the way that we want. Like, we're super picky or super passionate about the experience when people buy something from us. And so, you know, we really want to be able to bring that to people and, you know, in everyday life, to have retail stores and, you know, to have experiences that kind of match what we think is really fun and rad. So
One of the things that jumped out to me on your site was the packaging for the clothes looks really cool.
Yeah.
So like brown paper packages tied up with string, as it were.
Yeah. Well, it just kind of like, it's just like the stuff that we would want, you know, like when you buy something online and it comes like in a poly bag and a traditional box, it just doesn't feel like, it doesn't
like,
feel
like
cool.
A human sent it to you.
Yeah. I mean, we do. I mean, like my co-founder and I like literally go into our warehouse and pick a shirt off the shelf and send it to you. So, you know, we want to convey that, but we also want to convey there's like a sense of design aesthetic that we want to come across with our company. And, you know, what Pistol Lake is a place that I grew up and that we went camping every summer. And a lot of our designs are very like kind of like vintage athletic kind of inspired stuff. And so we want that to come across in the packaging. And, you know, eventually when we have our own retail shops and stuff, like, you know, want that same design aesthetic to come across. So,
Yeah, looking at the stuff, it all looks very like comfortable and kind of simple. And there's not like a logo that I see. It just kind of looks like stuff you would be able to wear casually almost anywhere, I guess.
Anywhere. It is that like minimalism though, of like not having a logo and of really focusing on what matters the most. You know, I think it's probably the same way with software as it is designing apparel. You know, you cut away everything that doesn't matter and then you're left focusing on really hardcore on what does matter. Mm-hmm. And that's the fit and the quality of the cotton and the quality of the sewing. And, you know, at the end of the day, like for a guy to come back and shop with us, like it means that he has to be able to wear that shirt, feel comfortable and have people, you know, tell him that it looks good and feel like it looks good in himself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's really what we design with in mind. So
Do you have a lot of repeat customers?
Yeah. I mean, we don't look at too much at the metrics. You know, we're not like super hardcore on that side right now.
Yep.
We're just trying to listen to people, what they tell us. I mean, all of our close friends, all the people that we talk to on a regular basis tell us that, you know, their closets are dominated by our shirts at this point.
Mm.
And so that's a good sign. We have some guys that come back and have consistently bought like 10 shirts at a time. But, you know, I don't know what percentage are repeat buyers, but I, you know, I definitely know they're out there. And, you know, the one, I guess, barometer we use is that people regularly send in emails telling us how much they love the shirts. And we have like almost no people that email in and say they don't fit or they don't like them. It's like super rare that people say they don't fit. But we also like offer 100% guarantee on anything we do. So if somebody misorders a size or it doesn't fit or whatever, we just take care of everything because, you know, we want people to be happy with what we're building.
So are you getting what you wanted out of this so far?
Out of building this company?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been
or out
challenging.
Of this interview.
The interview has been fun.
Okay.
The apparel business has been interesting. I mean, it's been a huge challenge. The first 6 months, maybe 9 months were really, really tough. Because not knowing what you don't know and facing all the hurdles, some days it just seemed like nothing could go right. And it actually is really really complex. Like, you know, an example is we were also designing like four different things at the same time, and that was probably a mistake. But, you know, we couldn't get the ribbing right on our crew necks and our V-necks, and it sounds so silly and like it's not a, you know, not too challenging or something, but we didn't want it to bake in. We didn't want it to like wear out after, you know, a few washes. And so, you know, we just kept on struggling. We went to everyone we knew that, you know, super smart mentors and stuff in the business, and nobody really could help us figure it out. And so we made, you know, went through the process of elimination, made so many changes, but it just took forever to find like this perfect ribbing that's like super beefy, like that holds up and keeps its shape and stuff like that. And, you know, there's just no like one person you go to solve it. So when all that stuff comes back wrong at the same time, when you're working on a lot of designs, it's super frustrating. But now, I mean, the two things that kind of keep it like really, really awesome is like, we're now at the point where we can design new things pretty easily and pretty consistently. We know a lot, but we learn stuff every day. And so those two aspects of being able to be creative every single day and then also learning like something hugely new, like at least once a week, is really crazy. But also on the flip side, like, you know, we've been really, really specific on how we wanted to build the company. You know, Shane and I were best friends when we started the company. And when we decided like a year into it that we wanted to have our friends help us and we wanted to build inventory, we, you know, raised capital from close friends in a really specific way. And then like, as we've hired our first couple of full-time people, you know, it's really been about, not about like, where'd you go to school or, you know, even what's your background. It's like, how are you going to fit in with this, with us? And is this going to be fun? Because, you know, for us at the end of the day, this is something we plan on working on for the next 50 years. And, you know, we really want to build a special company. So,
what are the hard parts about this business that people might not guess from the outside?
Well, the biggest thing is just that when something design-wise goes wrong, there's no like clear path. It's just process of elimination, and you just try to tweak as many things as you can to get it to go right. The other thing is that you have this like pressure, right? Like China and some of the more established apparel countries like have incredible industries that are built around apparel. And it's actually such that like you can design things faster and cheaper in China, which has these like full package places, than you can in the United States. And so, you know, you can literally send a sketch and a swatch of fabric to China and have something made, you know, and it will be back to you within like a week and a half or something. They've sourced fabric, they've figured out all the design quirks, and it's just incredible. And the price point's usually lower. But what you lose is you lose control of that design process, and you don't know all the pieces that go into that. So you're never going to make the very best product if you don't know, you know, the ins and outs. It's like architecting a system, a software system, right? Like without having any understanding of what the fundamental like technologies that you're using are. So you really have to understand like everything from the dyeing process to the actual sewing and stuff. And so, So that's challenging. It's like, you know, we want to manufacture and design here in the United States, but it's easier and cheaper to do in China. For us, it's a non-starter, because if we can't walk through the factories and we don't know the people that are sewing for us, then, you know, we're just not going to do it. But it is a challenge. You know, we just kind of accept that we can't ever compete with a company like H&M or Uniqlo or something like that. We don't really want to. So we just kind of accept it, and that's where our place in the market is.
Don't you know that the most important thing is making a lot of profit, though?
Well, you know, I do actually think making a lot of profit is important if you have kind of altruistic like ambitions, right? Like Shane and I both feel really passionate about giving back with our company, and we have projects that we want to work on, you know, that our company can do. So profit is important to us, but not at the cost of people's lives or, you know, livelihoods. So, you know, at the end of the day, we do actually look at it and see, you know, I think that companies can be vehicles for good things. And I don't think they have to be like, we don't define our brand. Nowhere on our page will you ever see like something about, you know, giving back or one for one programs or anything like that. But, you know, we do plan on having that be a component of our business. It's just not our brand.
if this does last and is a 50-year, you know, the thing you're doing for the next 50 years, what would you hope it looks like at that point, like way down the road? Do you want a lot of employees or like, do you hope it's still like, you know, eight people cranking out, really just like focusing on one sort of narrow niche in apparel?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think actually one of the things I learned building technology companies is that like when you come out of the gate with like some like crazy aspirational dream of a software or product or whatever, it's really tough to build a company like that. If you come out of the gate with a super useful feature that, you know, that somebody, you know, pays for and then you build on top of that, it's a lot easier to focus on the short term and live day by day, right? So I don't really think too much about what the future holds other than just, you know, doing good things, making beautiful products, having fun doing it, working with people that I love. And all of those things, you know, when you focus in the very short term on those, they're actually pretty easy to do. And it's like barometers for your decision making. You know, I've been influenced a lot. I wasn't exposed before building this company, but I've been influenced a lot by Patagonia. And the CEO or founder of Patagonia, who was actually from Maine as well, wrote a book called Let My People Go Surfing that was really influential, probably one of the best business books I've read. And, you know, his aspirations have never been to build a huge company. I mean, Patagonia is now a huge company, but, you know, he used to take off 6 months out of the year and go hiking and, you know, leave Patagonia to the management. But I think that, you know, in just focusing on building good products that he cares about and that are true to his kind of morals, he's built a good company. And so I think that that's a much more natural way to do things. You know, I'd love the company to be continue to be successful and to have people really delighted with the products we make. And I think the good things will come from that. So
sounds like a reasonable thing to focus on.
How about you? I'm curious. What brands are you particularly loyal to? And how do you make that decision?
I'm not like apparel wise, clothing wise.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the one I have like only a couple strong answers there. One is smart wool. I love smart wool socks a lot.
Super comfortable.
Yeah. I also really like ex officio boxers.
All
about that. Switching away from cotton to a synthetic was like one of the best quality of life improvements that I didn't expect, but it was really pretty amazing. And then there's these shoes called Vivo Barefoot, which are this like minimal sort of thin 0 centimeter drop shoe type things. It's basically like a slice of rubber on your foot that, you know, no heel kind of thing.
Are they for running or do you wear them?
I have like dress shoe versions and like
that's awesome.
Type things with them. Yeah, they're everything.
That's killer. What about that button up you're wearing?
I love this thing. What is this? Toscano, I think it's called or something.
Okay.
I forget the brand of this. I like this thing a lot too. Anything that's like kind of soft and like if a lumberjack would wear it once it hits fall, like that's kind of what I want to be in.
Yeah, you're on the East Coast too, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's basically cold enough for this now.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, you're in a t-shirt, I see.
Yeah, it's been a heat wave here in LA. I actually moved from Boston to LA to build this company. LA is still, you know, the capital of the United States when it comes to knitwear. And so when you have to learn something you know nothing about, you go to the source, right? And this week has been a heat wave, so it's been like, you know, 100 degrees. But
wow.
we work above our warehouse now, and it's just a really steamingly hot building. So it's been crazy, but I like it. So
yeah. Well, maybe one day you guys will have air conditioning. That can be your 50-year plan.
Yeah, you got it.
Or you're just stress testing the clothes, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Just making sure they're good. And
I actually rode my motorcycle into the office yesterday, and it was so hot by the time I got there, I like had to just like grab a shirt off the shelves to switch it out too.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to be able to wear something that you make every single day and to see your friends wearing it every single day.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most gratifying things you can do.
I'm sure. That's got to be kind of awesome. Especially like a stranger that you don't even know. It's like, oh, that's one of our shirts.
Yeah. I went to, a buddy's bachelor party in New Orleans a couple months ago. This guy, Brian Balfour. And he's a lot of tech friends and a lot of people that he had kind of shared the company with over the years. And literally every single person was wearing like something by Pistol Lake at some point through the trip. I think literally every single person, but at least the majority anyway.
Wow.
And it was just a really cool feeling. And it's like at a certain point, it just feels like, you know, you've hit one goal. And that was definitely one of them for me, is to not only make a good product, but then to have your friends wear it and people you haven't met. So,
Yeah, I'm sure that's like particularly satisfying.
One kind of interesting thing about building a company like this at this time mm-hmm. is the use of like what you talked about with Reddit and Hacker News and stuff. The Kickstarter platform has been really crazy in building brands that are building good products. And, you know, everyone from Oliver's to Flint and Tinder and Gustin and all these guys, I mean, these are like companies making awesome products that wouldn't have existed in the same way without Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a really rad time to be doing something like this because you can actually aggregate some interest and build good stuff.
Totally. Yeah, we interviewed Chris Lindland from BetaBrand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of another interesting model that just wouldn't have really happened 10 years right. ago.
Yeah, they make some really cool stuff. And I think that they've been really, really successful. I actually haven't met him yet. I think we share some mutual friends and stuff, mm-hmm. but those guys have been around forever. And so like the guys that have been around much longer than you and have backgrounds in it, there's so much wisdom to capture there, you know?
Well, I captured some of it in the podcast episode, so.
Were there any good takeaways?
Free for the taking. I know? I'm looking at my notes, but all my notes are all questions. They're not actually what they said, so.
You got it.
You have to figure out what episode that is. Do you know what episode that is, Tom?
Before my time.
Okay, it's before Tom's time. Wow, that's an old one. So I have all my questions for guests in a single file on my machine, and that episode was at line 1,000 of this file. So
wow,
that was a little while ago.
Yeah, you've been doing a few of these, huh?
Yeah, this is my 50-year adventure. Apparently,
that's really awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Is there anything else that I can kind of flesh out or fill in?
No, I think actually we're at a perfect stopping point.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I've really, really enjoyed the conversation and happy to pick up at any time if you want to reach out offline.
Yeah, that sounds good. Me too. And I may pick up a couple of your Henleys because they look pretty awesome.
All right. Awesome.
And I was not paid for that plug, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you for the support. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So website for Pistol Lake is just pistollake.com.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, you got it.
So go there and check it out if you're interested. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, man.
Hey, everybody, before we wrap up, just one quick note. We're going to have 2 weeks off on the podcast. I'm going to be traveling and be out of the office, so there will be a very short break, and we will be back on the 13th of October. We'll see you then. Today's show was produced and edited by Tom Obarski. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to thoughtbot.com/giantrobots/117. Thanks for listening.